Put on all your diamonds and your best clothes, because today we're talking about crazy rich Asians. You're listening to From Cover to Real, the podcast where we talk about books and their movie counterparts in order to answer the question of which is better, the book or the movie. This podcast is brought to you by Three Wings Design, the blog where you can find fun crafts and delicious recipes. I'm Alicia Maruri, your host, and I'm joined today by my husband, Adrian Maruri.
Hi, this is Adrian, and I am gladly joining my wife in this podcast, and I'm very excited about this experience. I think we're going to have fun. I don't think I'm going to contribute with much, but it's going to be great.
We are talking about Crazy Rich Asians today, so there will be spoilers for both the book and the movie. If you have not read it or listened to it and you really care about spoilers, go read it and watch it and then come back and listen to our episode. If you don't care, welcome. Here we are. And if you have read it and watched the movie or one or the other, welcome. We're glad to have you listening.
That's right. So if you don't want any spoilers, bye. Pause it right now, stop listening, and come back.
Actually, today we're doing a little bit different format because Adrian has not read the book yet. But he did go see the movie with me.
Yep, I went to watch the movie and I gotta say I enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect. I just didn't know what to expect.
But you didn't really want to go see it at first.
Not really, because I mean I knew what kind of movie it was gonna be. I knew it was gonna have some like a love story, you know. A lot of it just was like, it's not the kind of movie that I'm really excited to watch, but I would watch because if it's a big production, usually there's something I'm going to get out of it. So mm-hmm. I thought, sure, I'll see it. I wouldn't go by myself, but yeah.
Yeah, he's not too big into rom-coms, probably, which is what Crazy Rich Asians is. But did you feel like you related to it at all?
I feel like I do. I feel like, not in the way that, you know, like being an outsider myself or whatever, you know, being an immigrant. Actually, that movie's not about immigration at all.
No, I thought it was interesting because they're all Chinese. Like in the movie, Rachel says, it's not going to be that weird. Like they're Chinese, I'm Chinese, what's the big deal? And her mom's like, you're American Chinese, it's different. You can be an outsider even with people you think you won't be an outsider with.
I guess now that I think about it, I do relate to that because just the moment I moved here from Ecuador, they call me gringo. You know, they call me, he's your American uncle. They tell my nieces and nephews, you know, me and my brother that live here are the Americans, you know, mm-hmm. in our family. Yeah, no, actually, straight up. In my experience, I can see how, even though it's joking in my family, that can definitely be something that, you know, people see like, well, if you are part of us, then you would stay with us. I don't know. I don't know where it exactly comes from, but mm-hmm. I don't know. That's all I have to say. But definitely I can relate a little bit to that. Not in a negative way, just I can see the why.
The book Crazy Rich Asians was published in 2013. It's written by Kevin Kwan. It was written by Kevin Kwan, and he was made Time Magazine's list of 100 most influential people in 2018. Mm. And in 2014, he was named one of the 5 writers to watch, you know,
right,
on Hollywood's most powerful authors.
They tell the men that they have a camera. You can watch the Kevin Kwan cam. You see what he's doing in the day.
Stop.
One of the authors to watch.
Yeah. Watch him, like, creepily. No.
Brush his teeth.
The book is based on his
rich family.
I don't know if they're rich because it never says anywhere that I read that they're like crazy rich like that, but they were educated and well off. They weren't like poor, like, you know, so, but they moved to America when he was 11, but the book's based on his experience growing up in Singapore until he was 11. And then they moved to the United States.
So he was probably exposed to a lot of the same, I'm just thinking now, a lot of the same, like, you know, the families that know other families, you know, how they, like a lot of the social aspect of the film.
Right.
Maybe not the amount of money displayed by these families, you know, crazy, especially in the movies. Like, I don't know, in the book, but in the movies, just like extremely like out of whack, you know, crazy rich Asian.
Oh my gosh, he should have named it that. Exactly. He wrote a poem called Bible Study, I think is what it was called, which is the inspiration for the second chapter of the book, because he said the poem was kind of about, instead of actually studying the Bible, it was a time to show off your jewelry and gossip about things. And you kind of see that in the movie.
Anyways, what we're here to do is to talk about, compare the book to the movie. Now, yes. I have not read the book.
Right.
But I watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, that being said, tell us about the book.
I really liked the book. It was one that I was able to read it really fast. If I didn't have kids, I would have finished it in a day.
But you wouldn't prefer that.
No, I'm not You're saying I would prefer kids. That. I love my kids, but you can't just read and ignore your children. That's frowned upon.
Yeah.
And the kids don't like it either.
Unless there's no one there to frown.
So I really liked it. It was interesting. I feel like I related to Rachel a lot. It made me laugh. I don't know if it made me cry. I can't remember.
Now that you say this, I'm just thinking, just spur of the moment, kind of the format of this, because it's weird since I haven't read it. But now I'm going to ask you, because I'm really curious to know. You felt related to Rachel in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Did it change at all when you watched the movie? Do you feel like the character changed a bit, or was it the same?
Maybe not.
She was kind of what you imagined, or the idea of her that you developed in reading the book.
Yeah, she's a very strong, like, confident in herself. And then when everything happens with his family, and she finds out about her dad, spoiler, that does shake her a bit, and that shakes her in the book too. And I think that would shake anyone, because your whole life you believe your dad's dead, and then you find out, no, he's not. I don't think her character really changed that much at all.
Mm.
She's well educated, and she was in the book like a little naive to what people were thinking and doing about her. The same thing in the movie. Like, she didn't realize the extent that it was going to.
Hmm.
You know, like, she was aware that his mom didn't really care for her and his family. But in the book, a very different thing is his grandma likes her, but does not want him to marry her. And
it's funny because in the movie, I kind of got that, though. I kind of, at first at least, the grandma is like, you know, it was portrayed as like the grandma loves her. You know, she was so charming to her, and the grandma was like, oh my gosh. And every time she saw her, she was like happy. It wasn't until it was revealed by other sources that, yeah, you think everybody loves you here, but actually, you know, then you start realizing that even his mom was kind of rejected at first. And you see this like dark side to the grandma, you know,
mm-hmm.
that it's not portrayed until the very end. And even then, it's not like super dark. It's just she's angry because she felt she's being lied to. But when she confronts her, but it's never like she was like disappointed because I loved you so much. How could you do this? Anyways,
it's more about keeping their name.
I know you mentioned that the book is more, there's more than one book.
Wait, right.
Yes. How many?
Three.
And is he still writing or done?
I don't know.
And I wonder, you've only read one book.
Right.
Okay. So
I started the second one, but I haven't been able to finish it yet.
But what you read in the second book, was any of that in this movie?
No.
Okay, so this is probably based on the first book solely.
Yeah, I would think they'll probably do sequels.
That makes sense, yeah. Do you feel like the character development in the book, meaning, Let's talk about Rachel.
Okay.
And what she learned about herself. Do you feel like you saw the same character arc in the book as in the movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, no, that's very cool. You said that they might do sequels. I guess the movie didn't necessarily, you know, finish open-ended for me.
Like, no, it didn't.
Like, if I didn't know there was a second or third book, I wouldn't think, like, you know, I feel like they did a good job. It was just a movie, like a chick flick.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, chick flick, is that, like...
Yeah. I mean, it's more than a chick flick, though. It was the number one movie in America twice.
Now, when you say chick flick...
Chick flick is more like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Right. So my question is, what is a chick in chick flick? Is he referring to women?
Women. Oh.
What's the male version of chick?
There isn't one.
Rooster flick. Roost flick. Because honestly, it's a flick. I still don't know exactly what a flick is.
A movie.
Yeah. So it's a flick. Yeah. English is not my first language, but I like to think of myself as a native as one of native fluency in English.
You're very fluent.
Crazy Rich Asians.
What about Nick? I'll talk about him.
Who's Nick again?
He's the main guy.
Okay, sorry. I don't remember the names of the guys. But yeah, Nick. So main character, Nick. Okay.
Yeah. And also going back to Rachel, Constance Wu did a really good job playing her.
You think she read the book?
I would hope so.
Do you think they all read the book?
I don't know, because like when Michael Gambon did Dumbledore, he didn't read the book. And you can tell. That's why his Dumbledore is terrible.
Okay, but I was going to say, is that a good or a bad thing? But in a way, I don't know. In a way...
Okay, we're not talking about Harry Potter.
No, we're not. We're not talking about Harry Potter. But in a way, I feel like as an actor, maybe if you don't read the book and you just are told who you are, maybe it's a little bit more natural. I don't know. I can see pros and cons on reading the book or not. I'm just saying.
I think it depends on how close the book is to the movie, too.
Yeah. There's a difference between writing the book and writing the screenplay.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say is I think they did a really good job writing the screenplay to wrap it all up in the end because, I mean, it's always a crapshoot when you make a movie. Is it going to do well or not, you know?
Right.
And so if it could be its own standalone or they could do sequels.
Mm-hmm.
Although the book ends very differently than the movie.
I know. You were telling me about that.
So anyways, but I'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm. So Nick, you were going to talk about the main character?
I think that Nick was portrayed well in the movie, like very unaware of how his family really is and how the people would treat Rachel. Like, he thought, they love me, they'll be happy for me. But it was deeper than that. It's about the money and the family name more than him. So much, and he did a good job in that. The weird thing is that in the book, no one knows who the Youngs are in Singapore. They're very, very rich, but they are very secretive. They don't end up in the tabloids. They're not out at parties all the time getting photographed and stuff.
And that brings up a part that even though it's interesting because this is where you can tell there was something up in the making of the movie that our decisions were made at some point because I didn't read the book, but I did see a disconnect and it threw me off when they went to their house in the movie and it was all this like in the middle of the jungle, it's not there, you know? And in a moment I thought like, oh, are they playing it like they are so exclusive that they're not in the map because they paid to not be in the map, to not be reached? And then it was kind of like, you know, then they were kind of scared. But then it was weird because nothing else in the movie, made light of that. You know, it was kind of like a random moment that they did. And it made me think when I was watching, I was like, oh, there must be a little bit about this in the book because it seems kind of random.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's not really adding to anything because... Before you go there, it's like as soon as she drops a name, everybody knows. And when the movie starts, like it's a thing. Oh, he's there. Everybody's tweeting about it. The whole world knows now. and for them to be secretive all of a sudden. So I feel like they were trying to do that, the thing in the book. And of course, well, I mean, you can say that about any movie. They were trying to do the book and they went to, with something else, but decided to leave that in. They could have easily just not included it or put, I don't know. They just probably had to do it that way. But the interesting part, again, is that without reading the book, I could already tell that that was like a glitch, you know, kind of like, that was a little off. So it makes sense. When you told me that about the book, it made a lot of sense.
I find it weird that Peaklin wouldn't ask her for 2 years, what's your boyfriend's full name? Maybe I know him or know his family or something.
Now, is that different in the book?
That's different because they're so secretive. She's told Peaklin his name's Nick Young. She's like, I've never heard of him before. But when she finds out that the wedding, when they find out what wedding she's going to, they're like, you're going to that wedding? Oh my gosh, who is Nick Young? And they're like trying to figure it out. And then there's actually like a side story about Peaklin and her father trying to figure out about Nick's family. And they go talk to this guy that's older, lived through World War II and stuff. And knows about the grandma and stuff. So and actually knows Nick's grandfather, like, saved that old guy in the world war.
So if that was the case in the movie, if they were, you know, if the world in the book was, you know, portrayed exactly the same, Nick could have shown up at the dinner and nobody would have known who he was.
Right.
Basically. Interesting. You know what? And now that I think about it, maybe the reason why they didn't follow that through, because once you told me about this, because we talked a little bit about this, and now that you tell me even more, that's kind of weird. I mean, you know, in the book, there's a reason why it's there, and it probably, you know, helps and stuff, but just off the bat, for me, it's like, why would they be so secretive to the point that they are so rich but nobody knows him? I mean, I can see maybe, now that I think about it, why, but I can also see why they wanted to amend that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like somebody read the book, and just like people editing, you know, editors, you just want to edit the book, you know, and you're working on it and give you notes so you can improve the story or whatever. Somebody was just like, you know what, let's get it right. You know, I feel like this story would be more successful if everybody knows them. Because honestly, it's much more appealing. I mean, when you were watching a movie, you know, even from the very start, there's a lot of energy to it. So in a way, I feel like I'm playing devil's advocate. If movies are the devil when it comes to comparing books to movies, because I know I always tell you, like, I'll get excited when somebody decides, no, the movie's better. Ultimately, you cannot really compare. I mean, of course, there's, you know, it's depending on who's telling the story more successfully, but then again, different mediums. And again, I'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end. And that's why it makes sense in the book that she doesn't know, but they were just, you know, in the adaptation, they were just like, oh, why wouldn't she know? Nah, let's just keep going. It's a movie. I don't know.
Yeah, and I see why they did it, because it would take a lot of time to kind of set that up, them being so secretive. I mean, the whole thing where at the beginning where someone takes a picture of him and sends it, that happens in the book. Because there are people that know the Youngs. They know they're rich. All the other crazy rich families in Singapore know them.
So the common,
like, people and the tabloids don't know them. Does that make sense?
So whoever took the picture was also very rich and part of the high class society, whatever?
Yeah, probably went to school with him and stuff.
That's kind of random that a person from that very specific group was at the restaurant at that time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's easier
to sell. She worked there.
Right.
That's why.
And was it in the book? Was it also just like a, I don't know if it was a sushi. No, it wasn't a sushi place. They were eating some soup.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. But it felt like a regular restaurant, because, you know, it didn't feel like a very fancy restaurant.
No, because Rachel doesn't know he's rich.
Yeah.
She doesn't even know he's rich until really they get to his grandma's house.
So the airplane, that's what I know.
The whole airplane thing is different. And she's just like thinking, oh, wow, this must be costing him so much money. And then she finds out that Colin's family owns the hotel that they're staying in. And she's like, oh, no wonder we're staying here. It's probably like a comped room. as a gift from his family, you know? So she doesn't know he's rich until they get to the house. And she's like, what the heck, mm-hmm. you know? And it's all, she doesn't know he's rich until they get to the house. And she's like, what the heck? And it's just very overwhelming to her. And the thing where she thinks someone is his grandma, that really happens in the book. That was funny. And she's meeting all these people, you know.
Now, what I'm curious is about the proposal. I could talk about a lot of parts in the movie because I already, as you were saying, you were already, you know, when I thought I didn't like that airplane thing, that's how she finds out. That's when she finds out that he's rich. Because it was a little underwhelming for me.
Right.
Because I'm like, I want him to tell her, like, oh, I just got tickets. I just won a raffle or something like that.
Right. I think in the book he said he had miles.
Right. Exactly. That makes a lot of sense. He's like, oh, no, I just have all these miles and I wanted to show you, you know, treat you something nice. Yeah. Yeah. But then to tell her, it's almost like, oh, now she when she meets him, she already knows they're rich. Maybe she doesn't know how rich. Because she keeps finding out how famous they are and all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's fine. But then my point I was going to bring it was to, like, a different point in the movie, which is the proposal. Because when he proposed to her the first time, not in the airplane, the romantic one, I don't even know if that happens in the book, but at least there were two. There was like, the half proposal, the same, that, you know, when she tells her, like, let's just get married, you know, by the river. And he has the ring there and stuff like that, you know? That was just kind of weird to me.
Like when they're meeting up after the whole thing at the wedding?
Yeah, because I remember now, she didn't want to talk to him for the longest time.
Right.
And then her mom comes visit. And then her mom tells you, it was actually Nick who you know, got me here to talk to you. You should talk to him before we leave or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he was talking to him, he's just like, let's get married.
Right. So in the book, her mom wasn't there yet. She was at Paiklin's for a while. Same thing. She didn't want to talk to him or anyone. She wouldn't eat or drink or whatever. And then she finally agrees to meet with him. And he proposes, but he doesn't have a ring, I don't think. I can't remember. But she just tells him she loves him. But she doesn't think she can do it because of all these reasons, you know, X, Y, and Z. Mostly, you know, he's super rich and he does have plans to come live in Singapore again and all these things. So she just tells him no. It has nothing to do with, well, it does have to do with his mom too. Like, that's obviously part of the reason, because she doesn't want to get in between him and his family. Because she knows how important family is. So, that's part of it. But she never goes and meets with his mom at all. That's not a thing that happens.
I did like that part in the movie, though.
That was really nice for the movie to wrap it all up. This is when things start really changing a lot at the end. So then she decides she needs... Because in the book, her dad is in prison. Well, she thinks it's her dad. Her mom's husband is in prison. And so she just gets permission to go meet him. And she's going to go to Hong Kong, I think, and go meet him. And Paiklin's going to go with her. And then right as they're, like, trying to leave Paiklin's house to go, a car pulls up and her mom comes out. And she's like, you cannot go. I need to tell you the truth about everything. Because she wasn't talking to her mom either. She was mad at her mom for lying to her. So they go and talk, and her mom tells her the story of how that's not her real dad. No one else knew that wasn't her father, just her mom. Her mom never told anyone that Rachel wasn't his baby. And then, so then in the movie, she goes and meets with the mom, but she does not do that in the book.
Which, but I gotta say, before I forget, I think it is a little cliche moment, because that happens in a lot of movies. But still, it is kind of a crowd pleaser. That's why people keep adding that in the movies, even in modern movies, because you still like that. It's satisfying to see it confront the mom and then win the game of Mahjong and, like, you know.
Right.
So, sorry, keep going.
And also, I feel like I've been lied to about what Mahjong is.
Didn't that seem like a lot better than the Mahjong game that we played? Like,
yeah.
When you start getting the matching pieces, that one was like legit and like it was kind of like a crazy, not even dominoes. I don't know. I would love to play that version. Still don't know. I wonder if that game becomes popular or not because of that. Because I'm pretty sure everybody's like, what game is that?
Yeah, but I would really. We're super into games, so we should learn how to play Mahjong. Anyways, yeah, that was a nice moment in the movie. And it added more, humanity to the mom. Because in the book, she's still like, why doesn't Nick see what I'm doing for him? She does mention that she sacrificed a lot for him. And she had that same problem to come over of, you know, his grandma didn't like her. So she let the grandma raise Nick, basically. So that he would be the favorite and get the most money. But she still doesn't want him to marry her. In the end, and they don't talk. I know at the beginning of the second book, here's a spoiler for the second book, if you haven't read it, don't listen. It says they haven't talked for 2 years.
That's that's maybe like the closing part of the movie that I was going to talk about. When you told me that, because, you know, we talked a lot about this after the movie, that's the one part that is like, they decided, like, maybe that closure of the mom and her talking comes later in the books. It didn't happen in book number one, as you just said. So I wonder if that's one thing that they decided, you know what, no, we need to close that in the movie. We're going to leave it open-ended because this is not like Crazy Rich Asians 1. Right. Even though it might be a trilogy, who knows? They wanted to be the movie, like, to close the movie, you had to do that and bring it to this movie.
Right.
And I still don't think that I think they could still make the sequels or whatnot. I don't know, you know, they could do whatever they want. But yeah, that was one thing that brings it to me as the filmmaker. They had to, you know, they were like, well, we have to include that in the movie. I mean, honestly, I feel like without it, the movie would have been a lot weaker. But then again, in the book, you know there's more books.
Yeah, but you didn't know when the first one was written.
That's right. That's a good point.
But
still, I feel like, I don't know.
The ending is still good. Her and Nick do end up together. I think they do go to a rooftop place. And that's where they end up together, if I'm remembering. But it's during the day, like, for lunch.
And do they get engaged? They do, right?
I don't remember. I think so.
Because that's a part that the movie just had to be like a every other chick flick. You know, they end up together, that
it's
proposal.
It's not like a whole proposal thing like that, though. It's just like, you know, I love you, and it's very low-key. He did have a really big proposal planned. So the book goes, because they're staying there for 2 weeks in the book. So the wedding happens, and then they're there, and he plans to take her up to this house that his family has, and it overlooks the ocean, and he had them set up, like, luminaries, and he was going to go out there and do this beautiful proposal. And that's when they get there, his mom and grandma are there, have like cut him off getting there, and dropped the bomb about her dad and that he can't marry her and stuff.
So I gotta ask you the old question, and I'm gonna ask it in this way. I don't know if this is how you ask it all the time, even though I've listened to all of the times you've asked this, but which one do you enjoy more, reading the book or watching the movie?
This time, when I finished Crazy Rich Asians, I immediately went on Amazon to see how much the sequels were because I loved the book that much.
You really loved the book.
I really loved it. Mm-hmm. I guess I would not give it like 5 out of 5, but I liked it enough that I would want to read the sequels and stuff. And I have to know what happens to these characters. I'm invested in it. In the movie, it did feel kind of predictable to me, where the book didn't seem as predictable. Maybe it was because I'd read the book. I don't think so, though. Like, just from the changes they made, it seemed like, oh, yeah, I know what they're going to do next. And the mom's going to say this and stuff, you know. But that didn't make me not like it. It just is that I like the book better in this instance, I think.
So going back to my question, so now we know how much you enjoy the book. And not thinking about the book, how much did you enjoy the movie? It seems to be less.
Right.
What you just said.
I did really like the wedding scene in the movie.
That was really cool with the water.
Yeah. It was completely different from the book.
And that was the first time in the movie that I cried.
Right. You cried in the movie.
I mean, that it's just that maybe I was thinking of you.
You cried in the movie.
No. Maybe I was thinking of you when he just saw her. And I don't know what it was, but I was so immersed in her character at that moment. And she was just like, I could tell that it took a lot of courage for her to sit next to whatever the lady, important lady she sat next to and stuff. And then this whole thing was happening, and I could feel like maybe she was feeling vulnerable. I don't know. But just when she looks at him and he just tells her, like, she just mouths, "I love you." Like, I felt like I all of a sudden was much more calm. You know, I feel like that was very soothing. And then I felt like how he, on top of everything else that's happening, he cares about her mostly. Like, he's not seeing all that flamboyant, all nothing. He just sees her and what she needs, and he just provides it. What he's telling you, like, this is all can disappear. This is all about, you know, I want you to be, you know, happy, and just felt like she was in it and did it, and in the moment just was kind of perfect. You know, I guess maybe I was just, you know, thinking of you, or at least that's the kind of man I want to be. But
yeah,
I want to be rich too, like Nick Young.
Yeah, Nicholas Young.
So anyways, that was kind of like a
side. That's a really, I think that scene might have made me cry when I read it. Because that's when he decides he wants to marry her, is when they're watching Amatrasena. I think is how you say it, walk up the aisle. And she looks all beautiful, and Nick's like just thinking of how beautiful Rachel would be at a wedding, like as the bride. And
so he's a very superficial man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, I can tell that.
Yeah. No, but, and how he, because before that, like, in the movie, he had been thinking about marrying Rachel, but in the book, he's just like, no, I'm just bringing her on vacation. We're just dating. It's not too serious. I don't know, even though they, like, live together.
But I don't know, because in the movie, he definitely was very determined, like, you know, this is the girl I want to be with, and through my family, from the beginning. But maybe in the book, he was still like, I mean, I really like this girl, I cannot consider wedding because I know all the implications. Maybe he wasn't even thinking about it because of that. I don't know.
He loved her and everything in the book, but they'd never talked about getting married or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel wasn't really thinking about marriage either, but people had brought it up to her since she was going on a trip with him to Singapore. You know, like, oh, he's going to propose and stuff. And her mom said that in the movie, I think. Yeah. One big difference I want to talk about is Paik Lynn and her family. Well, the mom was pretty close to the same in the movie and the book. Paik Lynn was very different because she's actually like a very smart businesswoman. Her dad's really proud of her. Whereas in the movie, she's always the butt of his jokes, like comparing her to Rachel. And she does real estate, which is what her family does, is real estate. Construction? Yeah, construction. But she also, then they get, like, discounts on condos or whatever. So she was driving around showing Rachel, and she's like, I bought that for, like, $3 million. It'll sell for, like, $4 or $5 million, you know, and stuff like that. So that's part of the reason they're very interested in Nick's family in the book, because Paik Lynn drives her to Nick's grandma's house, and she's like, this is crazy. I had no idea this was here. It's not on the map. And they're trying to figure out what the real estate value of it is, basically.
See, that's like going back to the thing that in the book, that makes a lot more sense now, like, you know, that part. That's why once you get take out the part that everybody, you know, nobody knows them, once everybody knows them, then there's no need for her to, like, have that business of, like, buying property and being so impressed by this. Because it's like, anyways, it's almost like they dumb it down for the sake of, like, you know, I wouldn't say dumb it down, just streamline the process of getting the story out there and getting really what probably the filmmaker said with the important bits. Because right. All you're telling me makes the fact that they don't know make much more sense. Like, I feel like I really want to read the book now, like, you know, just because I'm curious, you know, how it all works. Because, you know, the movie, I know, I took it with a grain of salt. I know that kind of movie it was. It was based on the book as opposed to just a stream adaptation. I don't know. Anyways, but, okay. Which brings me to the last point, because I know we're coming here to an end, and I wanted to make a point. And you're going to include it, whatever, in the podcast. You were watching a video right before we started this. Mm-hmm. And it was about... it was a video of the author talking about how he felt about the movie. Or at least the part that I saw.
He was an executive producer on the movie. That was a condition of him selling the rights for it.
Right. And I remember that he mentioned in the video that he was happy because he said that at first he didn't think his book was even going to get published, and now to see the characters come to life was like surreal for him and exciting. And that's the part that, you know, once you think of like, oh, they made a movie of the book, and people that love the book might get a little bit scared. I mean, this guy wrote the book, but he's excited, you know. Maybe he already expects it to be different, you know, like, you know, all the movie adaptations that we've seen show us that they can be wildly different, they can be loosely based, or they can be almost like try to be verbatim. And the reason why I brought this guy up is because exactly that, and I want to try to make this point as quick as I can. So this man, and I'm going to play his name because they can say it better than me.
Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
Johann Wolfgang von Goethe.
Von Goethe. He wrote a poem called The Elf King, that was made, it's one of like Schubert's, you know, masterpieces. And, you know, it's his piano piece, and it's a poem adaptation with music, and it's great. It's super popular. But when I learned about this guy, he never liked the song. He was thinking it's like going to grabbing a painting by a painter and just decided it needs a bucket of yellow paint on it. There you go. Now it's done. Because he thought, my poem is done. It doesn't need anything else. If you add music to it, you're just ruining what I did, kind of thing. And even through all his life, he never really congratulated Schubert for the success he had with the piece. The same thing, I feel like the book is what it is. It's a finished work of art, you know? So when you do the movie, I can see why some authors could be like, I mean, that's great that you're gonna make a movie, but let's not think like, you know, it's going to be the same thing because my work is finished, you know? So... the poem, if you read it, as opposed to the song, you're probably going to get different things. And then you can say, just say you compare a book to a movie, you can compare, like, oh, which one's better, the poem or the song? Like, I recently listened to some poems set to music that I feel like the music really enhanced the experience, but at the same time, it wasn't neutral now. Now it was telling you how to feel about parts. Because that's what music does. It tells you what to feel in certain moments. And soundtracks do that, you know, scoring. It tells you, this is a scary moment. This is a happy moment. This is a sad moment. So it guides the audience to what's happening. It enhances what the storytellers want to tell. But when you read a book, it's like, this is what it is. You know, sometimes it's really sad or really happy. but it's a lot up to you, and everybody takes it differently. I wouldn't say it's the same level, and it doesn't happen at the same level in the movie. They all basically get the same. It's not like, oh, that movie to me means this. I mean, maybe to an extent. But what I'm trying to say here to close it up, and you can again hopefully cut a lot of this. What I'm trying to say, when Van Goethe decided that he didn't want his poem set to music because he liked his poem the way it was, to me it draws the line where like a book can be great and a movie can be great, even if they are exactly the same or 100% different. And to me, it's all about, did you enjoy the book? Did you enjoy the movie? And you can enjoy them differently without comparing. And I feel like that's very valid to bring when in future episodes, and, you know, just everything that you do in the podcast, which I think is great. By the way, I'm congratulating my wife in this moment because I think what she does is pretty great. That if you start thinking them about as two different pieces of art, it definitely helps. And I do love when people say, like, yes, but if they would have asked me, I would have told them, like, just change this thing. It will be like the book, and it will be better for the movie. And it's true. The sad part is, like, nobody that's writing a song or, like, writing a movie, like, if I'm writing a song, I'm not asking the whole world, okay, read the song. Do you like it? Give me the notes, and I'll make it better. It's more like, this is what I intend the song to be. And somebody could see flaws in it.
Well, yeah, that's why there's, like, some books that have, like, Little Women has, like, 7 movies or, you know, film adaptations. Because every person who reads the book is going to get something a little bit different from it. You're going to feel different emotions than someone else. It's a good thing because we're all different. And you don't have to feel the same thing at every, you know, everything that happens. Like, you cried during the wedding scene in Crazy Rich Asians.
I teared up.
You were bawling. I was bawling. And you had to leave the theater.
Yeah, people were like, shh.
No, but, and I didn't. I was happy. It felt good. And I was kind of in awe. I was also worried about her wedding dress getting all wet. But I guess she's so rich, it doesn't matter. So,
I see what you're saying.
We were probably thinking about different things. I did really like how he looked at her and was like, I love you. But I was also thinking, too, of how different the wedding was from in the book.
Yeah. And again, I cannot be anything but curious. So I guess now I want to go read.
Read the book.
Well, if I ever join you in the next episode.
You're supposed to do Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
And I will be very excited to do that because definitely for that one, I did read the book. I would reread it before it, and that would be, I feel like, more successful. But I hope this was at all entertaining. Closing remarks by Alicia.
Well, thank you, Adrian, for joining me today.
Of course, anytime.
And thanks for always doing the sound, even though I annoy you by not recording it right.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never do the sound for you. Podcast.
That's kind of true, actually. You just put the music in.
Hey, no, I do. I do just a little bit more than that. Let's just say that.
Right. Anyways, you're hardly ever here when I record. That's the main thing.
I know.
And it kills you.
Yeah, I feel like now I've been a little bit bossy with you getting the recording right, but I'm just looking out for myself afterwards.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to From Cover to Rail. We've really enjoyed it. We're going to keep doing it. And next, we're doing Coraline, because our next episode is in October. It's a very quick read, because it's for upper elementary school kids.
That's my kind of book, actually. I'm excited.
Yeah, I listened to it, actually, in one night, packing for our trip. So, and it's really good. It's very intriguing. It captures your attention really well. It's by Neil Gaiman. There is a graphic novel of it, too, if if you like that. And if that would be interesting to see and compare the images in the graphic novel to the movie, too. That's always interesting to me anyways. But, yeah. And the movie is on Netflix. At least I hope it still is. I have to watch it. But
sorry, I feel like I interrupted you. So you keep going. Saying that.
And after Coraline, to finish up October, we're doing The Witches by Roald Dahl. And that movie, as far as I know, is on Amazon Prime Video. So if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it. Okay? And then if you have any suggestions, please go to Instagram or Facebook and leave us a message and let us know what book or movie you'd like to do. And if you'd like to be on the podcast, we can maybe work that out and talk about your favorite book, movie, or the movie you hate, or the book you hate but love the movie, vice versa.
I know. I feel like that would be really, really cool if somebody says, like, oh my gosh, there's this book and movie combo that would be great, you know, to talk about, because, I don't know, I feel very passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be even better if it's something that we've never heard about, because I'm always excited to, you know, watch something that I haven't heard of, you know. Because if somebody suggests Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings, that's really cool. But it's even cooler if they suggest, like, oh, have you done, I don't know, The Comforter People?
There's a comforter
next to us. I just thought, like,
you can tell that Adrian doesn't read very much.
No, but The Comforter People. Just think about, like, somebody telling you, oh yeah, there's this horrible, really bad horror movie called The Comforter People. People that, you know that, you know, you're sleeping and then the comforter comes to life. Something that bad, and then there's a book and a movie about it. I would be thrilled to read that and watch that and talk about it. Now. Okay, now I'm going to say goodbye because I'm going to start writing The Comforter People.
Right. Okay, so thanks for listening and goodbye to all of you until next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of From Cover to Real. To see more of what we're up to, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and check out our page on the Three Wings Design website. Our show is available on multiple platforms for listening, including iTunes and Google Play. For a complete list of where you can listen to our show, look on our pinned post on Facebook or on our From Cover to Real page on the Three Wings Design website. Thanks!